And what's the possible difference between might and power? There's an overlap. Might, perhaps this is just a contemporary sort of pun on these words, but might is like physical might, applying pressure in different ways to get things to go the way that we want. And power could refer to mental powers. For example, wishing for something, affirming something, using an invocation, in some way with mental powers influencing the results. Wishing something, wishing to do in our enemy, to take it to the worst case scenario. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, by contacting this spiritual level of awareness. And it's easy to do. It's just an occasional thing that it will be foisted upon us. Eventually, what we want to do is ourselves to turn to it, to seek it out, to let it in. It's always here. We're talking about the presence of the holy, of the one life, the only life, which is animating and making conscious and aware. Every being that exists. Animal, mineral, and vegetable. Now, it's quite not only possible, but whatever I speak about on this program is from my own experience. A good and effective method is to work on our meditation on a daily basis, more than once a day. Like in the morning, first of all, when a crisis comes along, when the news is on in the evening. Incidentally, lately, I've just happened to find that it can be good to meditate before watching the news, and then everything that follows on the news falls into that meditative handbag, rather than more like watching the news, noticing the most portentous items, and then meditating about them afterwards. That's an aside. What I want to point out about the disciplined approach, it's a wonderful thing. It led me into this serious work and achieving whatever has been achieved. Yet, with more passing years and decades, it seems to me we do what we can, yet we don't have to push. I can understand what my teacher, Lorraine Sinkler, meant when she said, "It isn't easy, but easy does it." You can't push a strand of spaghetti through a pipe. We can head off so far that we really fall off the beam, you might say, and have to do a bunch of scurrying to get back. All these things, there's a kind of a balance. And it's a balance that is not achieved through some measurements or a regimen. It's like the harmony of any artistic work. So there is a profound acceptance and forgiveness in this, a profound honoring of ourself. The other day, a friend of mine said something critical about someone, and then he said, "Oh, look at that, I am so terrible for saying that, Yeah, I'm like, you know, unsalvageable. Well, you see that the way to go says, okay, I shouldn't have blamed that other person, and now I recognize the automatic conditioning that was at work, not really personal to anybody. And in seeing it without blame to the other person anymore, nor with any blame to myself, the powerlessness of it, the nothingness of the karma, the conditioning, the rounds and spirals of blame, the downward, ab reactions or vicious cycles. These vicious and diminishing circles have no power. It's the power without any struggle or effort. The action of the divine, which opens up, which spirals outwards, which is the, you might say, real, final, under the surface and sometimes on the surface evolution, which counts, which subsumes everything within it without any struggle, because everything within it, even the things that seem to run counter, are part of the process. So God operates not by might, nor by power. And in our life, finding the spiritual way, we operate in the imitation of God. And it's more humbling to see how we fall down. And in seconds, when we are led to let God in, it brings us back. There are so many things in this life which are humbling. There are things about our anatomy and physiology which are humbling. We can be felled by a splinter. We're helpless babies. Among the Ojibwe tribes people, once in the northern United States, now more displaced into Canada. If a man got too full of himself, he'd be cast out naked into the forest and could only return to the tribe after he had fashioned his own tools and clothing, sustained himself for that time, and then come back. And that could take years just to do that. And that knocked him down a peg or two or three. And today, the things we do, for better or worse, are done as a cell within a body politic of billions of people. But the obverse, the complement of that, is that one with God is a majority. Meditative work knows no opposition and has infinite might and power. Yet it does not work at all as we would personally command it. We let it in and we witness it. And God works in such a way that we might see that something miraculous is happening. The next person says, "Oh, well, that was really darn lucky." Coincidences do happen. There are some things that science doesn't explain. I see how that worked. And we let that be. It is not polite to shake someone out of their sleep. A lot of sleep is needed for healthy growth. And we still need sleep in this spiritual sense. And indeed, in actual sleeping and dreaming, it's one step backwards, not even seeing the commonly held outer world or acting in it with our bodies. And yet the sleep is also one step forwards into the dealings of the collective unconscious and beyond that into spiritual awareness. The collective unconscious is more like what we mean by mental powers. It has its place. it's invaluable in its place. The physical strength or activities, the mental powers, they are needed and irreplaceable in a world of relationships. But everything only falls into place when it falls into place. Within the totality, according to the compass of the infinite. So just as I was putting on my shoes to leave the house and take the 5-minute drive over here to the studio, it just came to me the words, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It's a humbling process, a relying process. God is as humble as the earth. And what could be lower than saying lower than dirt? It's the under substratum of the soil. It's this planet. Everything is a metaphor. This planet is a metaphor for the infinite, the sky, the daytime sky with the sun, the nighttime stars besprinkling the satiny blackness. The running waters. The beautiful greenery of the forest in its vast arrays of greens, each perfect. There is, well, it's well known, a balance of nature. And when we walk through the woods, we see that something like a blackberry or a thistle that would make a home gardener run for cover just fits in with all the other plants in nature. And everything we see there, including fallen branches and fallen leaves, is the most perfect and beautiful composition. the organic decomposition is a perfect, beautiful, artistic composition. And everything is being used. A rotting leaf is being used. Just in the same way that we can see, a minute ago I was judgmental or angry or fearful. And we have no judgment on ourselves, we simply see what happened. So, psychological principles, unconsciously rest upon these spiritual realities, or they consciously do. Every sort of activity leads to the spiritual and contributes to it. The joy of athletic activities, the great pleasures in eating, love of all kind between a man and a woman, between a parent and a child. This simplest outbreak of love and joy is God proclaiming itself in this world. A kind of pantomime. You might say God is a mime-mobile. It goes without saying. So when we walk the walk, we can be raised into this other form of awareness, spiritual awareness. This is KSKQ 94.9. Program is Really Being With You, every Saturday, 9:30 to 10. Peace, love, joy. Thank you.
My name's Rob, and you're listening to KSKQ LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon.
Can't help me get over.